Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. It's on page 840 in our pew Bibles. Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Christ, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's one of those passages of Scripture that gets your attention. For the last several weeks, we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount. It began with the Beatitudes, where we heard Jesus offer blessings on people who we don't usually consider to be blessed. And then we looked at the antithesis, where Jesus contrasts the law of Moses with his new teaching. You have heard that it was said, but now I'm telling you something different. But this morning, Jesus is telling us something about judgment. Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. I should say that this is probably the one section of the Sermon on the Mount that almost everyone knows and agrees with in our culture, even people who've never stepped a foot inside the church. Several years ago, I did some work with young people, college-age students, and they would invariably remind me that you were not supposed to judge. You can almost get away with doing anything else in our culture, but one of the things you cannot get away with is judging. And what they meant by judging, of course, was that you are not supposed to engage in any kind of moral critique or any kind of moral discrimination. You're not supposed to say that something is right or wrong, good or bad, particularly as it relates to lifestyle. Of course, it is impossible to live in any kind of society where you're not able to make moral judgments about what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. Even in our so-called tolerant and inclusive society, we are often quite judgmental. We've just replaced one form of moral judgments for another. I was going down the street the other day, and it was a freezing cold day, and I passed a business establishment, and I noticed about four or five people standing outside in the cold, shivering, smoking a cigarette. And when I was growing up, almost everyone smoked. It was the cool thing to do. There were even commercials on television extolling how cool cigarettes were. Almost everyone smoked. Then someone discovered that they were actually bad for you. They were bad for your health. Not only were they bad for the smoker, but it was bad for people to inhale secondhand smoke. And so a campaign was quickly afoot to judge and to tell everyone how bad cigarette smoking is. And so today, we often judge people who smoke cigarettes. Not only that, we don't even let them in the same building. If you're going to smoke, we say, you got to do that outside, even if it's in the cold. So we often judge. We judge all the time in our society. And Jesus himself often judged. We heard some of that in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus often said that there were certain behaviors that were in accordance to the kingdom of God, and certain behaviors that are not. There are certain things that are right and certain things that are wrong. Jesus nowhere advocates a kind of moral free-for-all that says it doesn't matter how we live. And so Jesus doesn't mean in our text this morning that we are never to judge. He doesn't mean that we are never supposed to make any kind of moral critiques about what is right and what is wrong. Jesus knows that we have to make moral judgments. But having said all of that, we must listen very carefully to what Jesus is telling us here, for he is speaking to that tendency that we all have, especially those of us inside the church, to elevate ourselves, to put ourselves in the position of God, to condemn and look down on others while ignoring all the ways that we too fall short of the glory of God. Yes, Jesus says we have to judge, but we have to be careful. Be careful how you do that. Be careful how you judge, because it makes a difference. Unfortunately, many of us religious folks have a reputation of being terribly judgmental in the way that Jesus is warning against in our text this morning. In one of Philip Yancey's books, he talks about a young woman who came to him once with a chilling confession. With tears in her eyes, she talked about how she sold her body in order to obtain drugs. And not only that, but she confessed how she also offered up to men her young daughter, often because her daughter commanded more money than even she did. It was a terrible confession to have to make to someone. And this woman, who was broken and crying, recognized how wrong it was, but she admitted that she just couldn't help it. The power of drugs had so taken over her life that she would do these horrible things, not only to herself, but even to her daughter that she loved so much. Yancey recommended that the woman find a church, a community of faith, a community that would love her and help her to break the power of addiction in her life, and that would be with her every step of the way on her journey. We all need those kinds of communities, whether they're families or larger communities of people who will walk with us and be with us and guide us and support us and nurture us. And so he recommended the church. And this woman responded, "Why would I go to a church? Why would I go to a church? Those people are the most judgmental people in the world. Why would I even subject myself to going to a church? I've already got enough on my plate than to go to a church and to be subjected to that kind of judgmentalism." I'm not saying that the woman is right or wrong. I'm just saying that there's a reputation out there, a reputation that we in the church have as being people who are less loving and more judgmental. I know I have a long list of people that I like to judge. I often contribute to this reputation of the church as being a place of judgment. Several years ago, when I was in seminary, I was having lunch with a friend of mine when I noticed a man in the restaurant, a person who I had a very low opinion of. He came over to the table to say hello and introduced himself to my friend. And after he had left, I said to my friend, "That guy is totally worthless. Totally worthless." And a horrified expression came over my friend's face, and she said, "Don't say that. No one is worthless." I then tried to explain myself. "No, I mean he's worthless. You don't understand what I'm saying. If you knew this guy, you would agree with me. He's totally worthless." And again, she said, "Don't say that." Don't say that. No one is worthless. And of course, she was right. Who was I to say that anyone was worthless? Only God can say that. Only God can say someone is worthless. And God says that no one is worthless. For God, everyone has worth. I had set myself up on this pedestal in comparison with this man and made a determination about his worth based on very limited information. And that's the kind of judging that we all do sometimes. And Jesus says, be careful. Be careful. Be careful how you judge. The fact is that our judgments and our prejudgments are often rooted in our deep-seated anxieties and fears that we have about our lives and our own sense of worth. We often judge and condemn and look down on others in order to feel good about ourselves. And oftentimes the judgment that we confer on others are sometimes the things that we see in ourselves. We see things in ourselves that we don't like, and therefore we transfer that to other people. And when we see it in other people, we judge them and deem them unworthy. We all do that. I was reading one of the commentaries by Clarence Jordan, who wrote the Cotton Patch Gospel, and he talked about this tendency to see the worst of ourselves and other people. And he recalled a farmer who was once working in his field, and someone came up to him and said, I'm traveling and I'm looking for a place to stay, and I'm wondering, how are the people in this little town? And the farmer said, well, how are the people in the town that you're from? And the man said, oh, the people in the town that I'm from, they're horrible. They're mean-spirited. They gossip. They talk about one another. They're horrible people. And so the farmer said, well, you might want to keep on going, because the people here are also horrible and mean-spirited and gossipers. He said, another man came and also said to the farmer, how are the people in this town? And the farmer said the same thing. How are the people in the little town that you're from? And the man said, well, the people are wonderful. They're neighborly. They help you out. Wonderful people. And the farmer said, well, you might as well unpack your bags, because that's the way the people are here too. Sometimes what we see in other people are the things that we don't like in ourselves. I've noticed that about people who go to churches sometimes. I'll ask them, how was that church? And they'll begin to say the church was either bad, or the church was good, the church is this or the church is that. But oftentimes what we see is what's in our own hearts. And so sometimes we can be quite judgmental. But the judgments that we confer on others are often the things that we don't like about ourselves. But we all judge, and we live in a society that often judges. I notice that not only do we judge and condemn individuals in groups that we deem unworthy, but we also scapegoat them and make them the source of all of our problems. I was an economics major in college, and I remember reading a lot of the literature of the time, and particularly in relation to the poor and how we often scapegoat the poor in our society. And a lot of the literature that I read, it went from seeing poverty as a problem to seeing poor people as the problem. And we often scapegoat the poor and judge the poor as being different kind of people. They're not like everybody else. They're different. We often believe that most of the problems in our society is relegated to those sectors of our society which are the most vulnerable, and often that is the poor. We often vilify the poor and judge the poor and condemn the poor. And yet we are reminded that if our country is going to Hades in the handbasket, it's usually not because of what the poor do, it's what the most powerful people and most influential people do. We're reminded of that in the great recession in 2008 when our economy crashed. Not because we had poor people, not because of what poor people did, but because of what powerful and influential people did. So we often judge the poor, often because they are the weakest and most vulnerable. But Jesus says, be careful. Be careful how you judge. Be careful, because in the same way that you judge others, that is the way that God will judge us. The Greek word that Matthew uses for judgment is the word krino, and it means to judge from a position of authority. And it ought to be clear that none of us are able to judge from a position of authority. Only God can judge from a position of authority. Only God can judge from a position of authority, because only God is without sin. The rest of us are deeply implicated in structures of sin, whether we care to admit it or not. We all fall short of the glory of God, all of us. Secondly, only God can judge, because only God has the right perspective. God can see things that we often cannot see. God can see things that we often choose not to see. God can see not only the outward manifestations of our inhumanity, but God can also see the heart. God can see things lodged deep down inside of our hearts. God can see the anger. God can see the pettiness. God can see the divisiveness. God can see the hatreds and resentments. God can see deep down inside of all of our hearts. He can see the inward motivations that move and guide us. And so Jesus says, be careful. Be careful how you judge, because the measure by which we judge others will be the measure by which God judges us. We often downplay, of course, our own shortcomings while elevating and accentuating the shortcomings of others. Sometimes we choose not even to see our own shortcomings. We choose not to see our own sins. There's a wonderful story in 2 Samuel where King David has one of his most loyal soldiers, Uriah, killed so that David can sleep with his beautiful wife, Bathsheba. And David executes the deed, and he has absolutely no pangs of remorse whatsoever until the prophet Nathan comes to him with the story. And Nathan tells David about a rich man that has many, many sheep, more sheep than he could even want and need, and a poor man who has only one sheep. And the rich man comes and takes the one sheep of the poor man. And when David hears the story, David is incensed. Who is this man who has done this? Go get him so that I can bring justice. Who is it? And the prophet Nathan tells him, you are the man. You are the one who has done this. You are the person. David, who is so ready to condemn and judge someone else, couldn't even recognize his own conduct in the story that Nathan was telling him. And some of us are like that as well. We love to lift up other people's sins and shortcomings, but we forget that we too fall short of the glory of God. Jesus reminds us of something that is difficult for all of us. He reminds us that the first order of business is not to find fault with others. It's not to judge others and condemn others and to hold other people's sins up for honorable mention. No, Jesus tells us that the first order of business is to look deep inside of our own hearts, to look at ourselves, and to consider all the ways that we too collude with forces and powers in the world that are at variance with the kingdom of God. I'm someone who likes to beat people up over the head sometimes. You probably wouldn't know it here. I don't do it too much here. But those back in Springfield, Missouri knows whenever I go home for a family reunion or something, I love to sit down and I've got a whole list of people who I like to judge. And I got the Bible on my side. See, right here, it says here in the Bible. It says this in the Bible. You're not supposed to do X and you're not supposed to do Y. I've got the Bible on my side. And besides, I'm a preacher, so I know these things. But the Bible says lots of things. Some of it we've heard in the Sermon on the Mount. The Bible says things about anger. And I'm often angry, but I don't pay that a whole lot of attention. The Bible says things about lust in my heart. I'm not going to confess to that, but oftentimes we don't pay that a whole lot of attention. The Bible says things about loving our enemies. It's right there. It's in the Bible. You're supposed to love our enemies, but we don't pay a whole lot of attention to that. That goes in one ear and out the other. The Bible says a whole lot of things about what we do with our money, what we're supposed to do with our money, but we don't pay any attention to that. Goes in one ear and out the other. We only use the Bible when we want to beat up people that we don't like or that disagree with us or who are different from us. That's when we pull out the Bible. That's when I pull out the Bible anyway. But we are reminded this morning that we are all sinners, that we all fall short of the glory of God. Jesus calls us to a deep humility, whereby we are invited to consider that we are all dependent upon the grace and mercy of God, all of us. None of us can judge anyone else from a position of authority. The only one who can judge us from a position of authority does not condemn us, but he comes to become one of us and to take our shortcomings and sins upon himself. He is the one who invites us to move out of our space where we're always grumpy and self-righteous. We're always angry and judgmental. Jesus reminds us and invites us to move out of that space and to move towards the space of gratitude for the grace that God has shown to all of us. Now, this doesn't mean that we can't make moral judgments. It doesn't mean that we can't say what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad, what brings life and what brings death. We can say that. We are supposed to say that. We are encouraged to say that. But it makes a big difference when we say it from a position of self-righteousness and when we say it recognizing that we all fall short of the glory of God. And so Jesus says, be careful. Be careful. Be careful how you judge. Because how we judge others will be the way that God judges us. Amen. Amen. Eternal God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for your grace and for your mercy. And we give you thanks for reminding us that you are the God of our lives, that you have come to be with us, to save us, because we are unable to save ourselves. Help us, Lord, to be availed not with the attitude of judgmentalism, but with an attitude of gratitude for the grace that you've shown each and every one of us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.